Come on and get it, honey, while the getting's good, good, good.
Hello and welcome to Unapologetically Judith Owen. Now, Judith, I'm not suggesting I'm obsessed with you or even a little in love. Let's let the courts decide. But I have been watching, reading, listening, everything, all your interviews about your latest incredible album, Come On and Get It. And what comes across, of course, loud and clear, is the album is, yes, a beautiful homage to and celebration of the unsung, brilliantly talented women of 40s and 50s jazz and blues. But it's also a celebration of how badass they were, their attitude, how unapologetic they were, and how powerful being unapologetic is. And that's what this series is talking about. I'm Bebe Lynch, and hello, Judith Owen.
Hello, Bebe. I got to say, I kind of, that was almost of a, that put me into a trance. That put me into a kind of,
I've been offered sex line work before.
I think, come back, Bebe, come back. Sit back in that chair and just give it. There she is. Hello,
Bebe. How are you doing, darling?
How I love you.
I love you more.
What we are talking about today is, this is one of my favorites. You know, we've spoken about what should we be talking about? What are the things that we can, not just about the music, not just about the women, but what is it that they have taught me that it has become clear that they were in control of and knew long before I knew it? And I'm going to tell you, today's is an important one. It is the power of no. We've been speaking before about being a pleaser, about growing up feeling like I needed to please everybody, like I was running for office, that everybody had to love me, like I couldn't cope with somebody not liking me. And the most wonderful thing I have learned to do is to say no, actually. Thank you, but no.
I can see the power in it, but I can also see that is really hard to do. So you're there now. You're now where you can say it without the kind of, you don't apologize 10 times after, you don't do the top and tail of an email, I'm so sorry to bother you and I really hope that's okay. And if this is of any problem, don't, of course, ignore it. You don't do any of that stuff now.
Well, I'm not that big a girl. I mean, I have to say, I have to watch myself all the time. So this is something, you're right, that you have to work at constantly to be able to say, you know, sorry to bother you. No, I'm not sorry to bother you. Hi, how you doing? I'm really wondering if, you know, it's sort of like the idea that somehow you're being a dreadful person for asking for your needs to be met. I mean, that's what it really is at the end of the day, as opposed to just saying, you know, for example, in a business situation or somebody that I want to see if they can do something, you know, help me in some way. It's like, hey, I'm just wondering, can you do this? Is this something that you could help me with? That would be incredible. Just let me know. Either way, wonderful. You know, thanks for your time. Done. And it's like the fact that, you know, the apologies usually take up, you know, they did in the past with me. More of the information was taken up by me going, oh, sorry to bother. I know you're busy. And it's like, oh, shut up. It's like, if you go in with apologizing, then it's sort of, it comes across that it's sort of like a bit, oh, you know, on the other end, you're not coming across as being that person. It's like, can you, will you, this is great. Thank you so much for your time. Done.
Doesn't mean you don't have to be rude.
No, it doesn't. You can still be completely charming and friendly and wonderful. In fact, that's the best way to do it. I've now realized that, and believe me, I've only just in the last few years got my head around the idea of somebody says something to me and I don't like the sound of it. I've always been very clear about what I do and don't like when it comes to music. You see, that's the thing. And in my work and when I hear something in the studio and whenever I've kind of gone, and tried something, guess what? Guess what? When I go against my gut, it's never, ever right. And it's a good reminder that it's like, it's got to be right for you. It might not be right for somebody else, but it's got to be right for you. And the idea of actually saying, well, because you want to please another person or you don't want to seem to be like a narcissist or, you know, because we go to that place immediately. We think, oh, they're going to think I'm just such a absolute bitch, a cow, you know, so demanding, so aggressive. So this, fill in the description right there, you know, whatever you want to put in there. But the truth is that I've grown up seeing men being very straightforward and really appreciated it and loved it, that somebody can say, no, not really, that's well, I don't know, but it doesn't feel good to me. That doesn't feel right. No, that's not going to work for me. How about this? Oh my gosh, it's so healthy. Now, I didn't grow up in a, you know, like most of us, I didn't grow up in a healthy home where you could ask for your needs to be met. We couldn't even say sorry because it was so laden down with so much emotional baggage. And so I found myself having actually some of the most extraordinary experiences in life where I should have said no. And I just didn't even speak me. But, you know, the time when I think the best example, because I think it relates to everybody, is things that you allow people to do to you. You know, for example, I went and I don't have, you know, heavy, huge eyebrows, for example. And I remember when I was sort of bored and I was in LA and I thought, oh, I'd really like to shape my brows. And everybody seems to be shaping their brows. So I went in and I said, can you, you know, just sort of clean up my brows or something or make them whatever. And the guy was sort of like, oh, absolutely, I've got this. Anyway, to say I walked out with a pencil line for a brow, okay, is an understatement of all time. And I didn't say anything and I tipped him. And I tipped him because I didn't want to hurt his feelings. You see, this is what I'm talking about. I didn't want to hurt his feelings, where in fact I should have said, I want my money back and I am so angry. You have literally taken my brows off. I asked you to make them look full and tidy. What have you done? This is not okay. Where's the manager? And that's what I should have done. But of course, I didn't want to make it fast.
Thank
I didn't
you
want
to so cause much. A scene. I didn't I love want to be it. A bitch.
And mostly, I didn't want to hurt his feelings. What the fuck?
Did you at least look surprised?
No, they weren't even that interesting. I mean, if he'd done a sort of, you know, if he'd done a sort of old Hollywood look, I might have been able to cope with that. But no, there was nothing good that you could say about this. And I came home and Harry said, what's happened to your brows? I mean, that was the first thing that happened when we walked through the door and it was like, so then I got angry with Harry because I could, because I don't, you know, because I didn't have to worry about him hating me. No, I think we do that all the time. It's like the stuff that you hold in and don't say to people who are usually strangers because you want to protect them. Like you don't want to think about it. You want to protect a stranger more than yourself. You want to take care of them more than yourself. That's so for so many of us. But then with the person that you feel safe with, who loves you, you know, and will put up with this shit to an extent, you know, you'll take it out on them. You know, it was ridiculous. But the one that absolutely rocks my world, Bebe Lynch, is this sit down. You are sitting down.
Let me stand up and then sit down because I'd like the impact. And then you get to see my top
Can
as
you
well.
Do that, like the impact. I have a massage. It's always in LA because in LA is filled with the most freakish experiences and the freakish people, most freakish people. And I'm attracted and freaks are attracted to me. And I say freaks with lots of love because I'm beautifully flawed. So I, you know, I count myself as the like exquisitely damaged people out there. So I'm one of them. So they obviously seem to see that in me and feel like somehow they can trust me to get away with murder. So I go and have this. I've been recommended that this incredible Masu, who is also an actress, that should have been the warning sign.
She's playing a role. She's auditioning as role.
Yeah, she's playing a role.
Yeah,
on me, and that's where I'm going here. So she's great. She's amazing. She's tiny. She's bird-like. I'm lying down on my face. I can hardly breathe. I hate being on my face. Anyway, she's doing the whole do. It's marvelous. I'm transported. All my cares, my stresses leave my body. I am, here we go. I'm going into that place. And I turn over and she continues on my legs and says, there's something I'd really like to do for you because I feel like you're, here it comes. I feel like your chakras are very open and there's something that I really feel. It's something I only do with women, but it really does respond to their female, whatever the word was, some kind of chakra, you know, their thing, their woman's thing. So I've got my eyes closed. I'm like, yeah, you know, instead of what my gut was saying was, no, don't touch my chakra.
Not the chakra.
No, just keep going.
At least
I don't
buy me dinner
special.
First.
Leave off on the chakra. Exactly. And don't touch my third eye. I'll tell you. And I can feel the bed, the massage bed rocking. And I realize that she's actually climbed up on it. She's climbed up on it. And I can feel that she's down towards my pelvis. And I can feel heat off her. And then I can feel something above my head. And then before I know it, she has squatted over me and has started to play the didgeridoo. Now, at this point, you would say didgeridoo don't. Stop.
Is any of this...
right? So I open one eye because I can't. I'm like, what the holy fucking fuck is happening? She's squatting on top of me with a didgeridoo of my head, and that's really going to help my chakra. Now I am so tense. I'm so wound up. I don't know whether to laugh or cry. Everything good that she's done is reversed. I'm a mess. I just wanted to get the fuck off me. I don't know what to say. She gets off and she says, I hope you know that news. I felt you absolutely accepting. Not everybody can deal with something like that. And of course I'm like, No, really. Like I tip her exorbitantly. I thank her for opening my chakra. I don't even know where it is.
It's big down under. It's back in Australia.
Big down under, mate. And I leave worse than I arrived. I'm so tense. But I start laughing on the way home so hard that by the time I go home and tell Harry, again, it's just one of those things where that is a story I've dined off ever since, and I'm so grateful for it. But can you imagine me in that situation? The worst massage of that was until I went to Brisbane with my fabulous percussionist, Pedro, and accidentally took him to a brothel by mistake, convinced that it was a massage parlor. And still, when the penny dropped and I saw the blow-up bed and the lube in a room that was quickly closed, the door was closed quickly. Even when the penny dropped, I couldn't move. I was paralyzed and laughing, crying inside. I felt so sorry for them, of course, because they're these lovely young things in this awful situation. Tipped them massively.
Yeah,
I thanked them for what could only be described as somebody stroking my arm and with their nails. And so, and I left, and I was just hysterically laughing that I left Pedro there. I just left him. I couldn't cope. So this is what I mean. It's sort of like, now these are the funny ones. There were 101 other ones that weren't funny where I should have gone, no, stop. Right now. No, I wouldn't have had the stories. That's true.
Was the, oh my God, a didgeridoo is quite huge, isn't it? Yeah.
It's giant.
And was she good? Was she at least talented?
Who knows?
You were there, sweetheart.
I was so traumatized. I couldn't hear anything. All I could hear was the screaming voices in my head. Get me out, get me out, get me out. So, because I mean, it's over my head. It was just like that, you know. It was like a foot above my head. I couldn't get up. I couldn't push her off. I'd have killed her. And and I didn't have the heart. I didn't want to upset. I didn't want to hurt her feelings. Again, I paid for the worst massage of my life. And I don't want to hurt her feelings. What is wrong with this picture? And I think anybody listening to this knows exactly what I'm bloody well talking about. That's an extreme version. But haven't we all had that situation where it's like, you have ruined my hair. You have destroyed something and you have done something really badly. And I'm actually thanking you for it and not saying a word because
it's also a thing you just want to get out of the situation.
I don't want to be not loved.
Just get out
of the bloody situation. And I just, please get. And I am really like, you know, I find myself, I have to work really hard at this because it's not my, you know, I've spent so many years being the pleaser, but I have to say, I mean, just last night, somebody asked me, did I want to do something with an organization? And I just said, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that because I don't want to be in that role because I find it hard enough. And time, you know, absorbing enough just to run my own life and take care of what I have to take care of in my own life. So I'm going to be honest with you, that is not the role for me. But it was good. It felt really good just to say no.
And you qualify it.
Not, oh, well, think about it. Yeah, that's interesting. No, I'm not the right person for that.
Oh, can I steal that line? I'm not the right person.
That's the truth.
Great, isn't it? Because then you're kind of going, nothing to do with you, nothing to do with the setup.
Yeah, that's exactly the thing. And that's what's important to remember, that no feels to pleasers like such an aggressive word. But no is a very healthy word to set your boundaries in life and to actually be clear about who you are. So I do think it's important to say, I think this is an incredible thing and I think this is a very important role, but it's not the one for me. I'm not the person for that. It's just, that's not something that I would be good at. So, but you know,
I want you to teach me. Should we do some role play?
Yeah.
Okay. So you go on.
Here's one. I would like you to,
First of all, say hello. First of all, say hello.
Well, no, this isn't a date. Oh. All right. So, Bibi, what we'd like you to do in our organization is to teach other women how to repair cars and to be experts in car mechanics.
And then do you know what I would do? And this is like, I'm out of role now. But
No, you meant this was role play.
No, you're not going back in. Because what I would do is what I would do is in my head think, I don't know anything about this, but I'm so flattered they've asked. I'm going to learn how to repair cars. And in my head, I'd go, right, I'm going to do an open university course on learning to repair cars.
Can I just stop you right there? And then I'd come back in and go,
I'd love to do this in a month's time because I know I've got to learn about cars.
All right. So do you want to do that?
No.
Really? No. So first of all, I think that's a great idea. I think more women should know about car mechanics. I think there's a whole bunch of women that would love it. I personally studied car mechanics, not you, but me. I'm out of role now. But honestly, I don't know anything about it. I'd be willing, if you want to send me on a course to learn about it and to, you know, to throw myself into it. But I know nothing about this. So perhaps you want to find somebody who, you know, actually has that area of expertise. But if you're looking for somebody who's also going to learn and have fun with it and be fun around it, then, you know, maybe that's why you've come to me, but I know nothing about
I'm just going to say, so when you say no, right, all you do is that line saying, I think there might be someone who's better suited to this. You don't qualify other ways. You don't kind of, and I think the hard no is a great one as well. Don't give anyone kind of, because otherwise it's giving them not giving them an answer. They can't move forward whatever they're doing. You're going to have to bat this off later.
That's right. That's right. And you're right. When you say no, and it feels so good, and then you start thinking, oh, that sounded a bit harsh, didn't it? Oh, dear. And then you start qualifying why it was no. Sometimes it's good to say, because this is absolutely not in my wheelhouse of expertise. I am the wrong fit for this, but it's a brilliant idea. Other times, you know, you find yourself kind of going, because, and it's like, nah, that's what we've got to stop. That's what all of us pleasers have to do, is to stop having to somehow apologize for the fact that you've just said no. And that's the knee jerk thing to do, is to like, I said no, it was really hard, it was really harsh, they're judging me now. You're going back to the same place. So you do baby steps. You can't do it all in one. It's a very difficult thing to do. But you remember, at the back of it is not to be, you're not being nasty, you're not being shitty, and you're not, all you're being is honest and having your needs met. You know, you're really, you're putting that always first, is being genuine about yourself. I had this amazing friend who is a security expert who once told me, you know, when you're standing in front of a lift and the doors open and you get a really creepy feeling and there's somebody in there that makes you feel bad, or that you kind of go, and I would say 99.9% of us would get in because you don't want to make that person, you know, it's like, oh, I'm being silly. Well, maybe you're not. Maybe you should learn to recognize and listen to your animal instincts. And so it's the same thing with anything that doesn't feel right, that doesn't feel like it's who you are, that doesn't feel like you want to do it, that it will bring you pleasure, that you're even good at it, that you are the person for it. And I think that's the way to look at it.
Do it again. Do the role play again.
All right, here we go. Bibi, hi. You know, we're great fans of yours here at the organization. Okay. And what we're trying to do is with fun, you know, we're trying to introduce more women to car mechanics. And we thought, wouldn't that be fun if Bibi could, like, you know, introduce more women to that area of life? What do you think?
No, because you're going to kill me in a lift.
Motherfucker. I should have seen that from like... Now, that is called crossing two stories. I don't think you're going to deal... I don't think you're going
to
get the kind of...
Can't I just send people to you?
...outcome. No. No. And you can't just answer no because you'll kill me in a lift. Although I think that's actually quite brilliant. Wouldn't that be great if every answer was no because you'll kill me in a lift? I think it's one of those things where it's like, be charming, be yourself. Thank you so much for asking me. What a great idea. I don't think I'm probably the right person for it, but...
And also, right, saying no to someone is that thing that we've said so many times. It's like this in our heads. It's like, oh my God, they don't care. They've asked, they've got the answer, they've moved on. No one is worrying about our reaction or our response in any way, the same details.
In any shape or form. Yeah. Let's bring her out. Come on, you know who I'm bringing out right
now. Oh, it's not judgmental. Judgmental, yeah.
Mental. It is time for judgmental to show her face again. We are the only people who care, like for what, hours, days after we've had the conversation, we're still running over it in our minds. Was that right? This is the rumination is what I think is the hardest thing of all to stop. It has been for me, is to stop ruminating over the stuff and ruminating just stops you from living in the present. That's all it does. And there's something really finite and wonderful about being able to at long last be able to say, thank you, but no, and then move on.
This is putting you on the spot a bit, but going back to our Come On and Get It incredible women that have kind of inspired all this talk, and, you know, they were unapologetic. They would have said no, right? They would have had that strength. Is there a track on the album that is definitely shows that to you?
Yeah, I think every one of them has that, the guts to it. And I think Pearl Bailey's Tess's Torch song is a good one. It's, you know, it's about a husband or a boyfriend and a best friend, like, going behind your back and sneaking off. And yet there's a, you know, the song isn't about no, but she has the word no in the way that she sings it. It's kind of like, it's she's moving on. She's like, she's telling the story, but she's not a victim. She's like, she's moved on. And I think My Man's an Undertaker. There you go. My Man's an Undertaker is the greatest. My Man's an Undertaker. She's basically saying to this guy that she wasn't involved with in the past, don't you come around my door anymore, because my man's an Undertaker. He's going to take you out, you know, feet first. He'll put you in a coffin and take you out if you mess with me again. It is so the power of no. It is so, it's all about no. With a glint in the eye and with humor, it really is. And so is Everything I've Got Belongs to You, which is an incredible piece of music, incredible song. And the first time I heard that was Blossom Dearie's version, of course, which is why it's included in the album. And it's this unbelievably witty, satirical song about everything shit in life, everything awful that I have, you can have it. You know, I've learned. I it's like she talks about like hammer lock holds and punching, and I've got a trick with a knife and all this kind of stuff. It's just like everything she's got that is full of vitriol is pointed at this person. You can have it. I got it for you, baby. And it's like, it's wonderful. It's just wonderful. And that's really it. It's like having the fun with it. But, you know, you said about these women living this way, baby. When Nellie Lutcher got fed up of being ripped off yet again, over and over, by Capitol Records, as she referred to it, Crapital Records, she stopped recording. She said no in the biggest possible way that she could, because she found it unbearable to record and keep giving money away to other people and never seeing a penny. And so she put her foot down and said no, and went into semi-retirement And that's a huge thing to do and a painful thing to do, but she did it because she wasn't going to take that crap. She wasn't going to do it. And Pearl Bailey, you know, she said no to America when they said you can't marry a white guy, when you can't marry Louis Bellson, white drummer. She said nope. Went off to London, married him anyway.
Love this. I love all this, and I love as well that you say that the place that you were first able to say no. And with all that conviction of every bit of knowledge in your gut, your brain, your heart, every ounce of you was in the studio, was when it was around music.
Always. Yeah. I've always said that when it comes to music, I am the best and the most confident and the most focused person I can ever be. It's the rest of my life that I that I struggle with. When it comes to my instincts musically, I know that I'm right. I'm right for me. You know, I know what I want, and I'm very clear about it. And when I second guess, it's always a mistake. It's always a big mistake. But this whole as most women in this business, I have been told no so many times by the business. It's extraordinary. And yet, you know, didn't want to say no back or act up back because I would be, you know, the bad child. And yet, you know, there is obviously a backbone to me, because in spite of how many times people have said, no, you're too big, you're too theatrical, you're too funny. Seriously, you're too musical. That's a good one. your lyrics are too emotional. Yeah, you're even too depressed because it's like, don't talk about that. No, don't talk about that. It's a real downer. It's like, really? Really? So I have had a whole shitload of no's thrown at me throughout my life, but I have not actually let them land. They've hurt, they've stung, they've been body blows, but I haven't actually taken them to heart. They undermine, you know, they prey on the things that you already doubt in yourself. And we're all self-doubters. And they do, but then there's a part of me that's like, you know what? Fuck you.
You say no to the no.
I have that in me. Thank God. I say no to the no. Now I'm learning actually to say no to the in life, in general, in every day. I'm allowing that to come now into my everyday life, not just in a musical situation. Making this album, I had to say no a lot. I had to say no a lot because, you know, there was a big, believe me changing trajectory and doing something so purely jazz and getting out from behind the piano. There were a lot of people who weren't that happy about that or like, really, really, really? Are you serious? Honestly, are you sure? It's like, yep, no, I'm not. No, it's no is inside is I'm not going to listen to that. And the, what do you mean you're going to dress up in like, why? What's the matter with you just being you? And it's like all these things that come, all these critiques that come at you, you have to reach that point. And I think you see that with many artists who, you know, if Lady Gaga can turn up at an event rocking like a meat costume, you know, she went as meat. I'm sorry. I'm just putting a bloody wig and a suit on. I mean, come on. I mean, this is ridiculous. So it's amazing how people get kind of offended and a bit shocked when you're something other than what they're used to. And I mean, I think we all know that one. When you stop playing the role that you've always played, and family dynamics are big on this one, don't you think? When you stop playing the role that you played since you were a kid, and there's always those dynamics, and somebody is that, and somebody's that, and somebody's the goof up, and somebody's the funny one, and somebody's difficult. And if you stop being that and turn that around, it's really, you can start seeing people are not happy. It's like,
you'll be unsurprised to hear I've had quite a lot of therapy. And and my first therapist said that, and it always stuck me, as I just thought it was so interesting, a bit off piece, but fascinating. She said there's often one person in the family that has therapy for the family, not on behalf of the family, not, do you know what I mean? Not instead of the family, but exactly that changes, that dynamic changes, and then that throws up a lot of stuff. I'm going to give an outro and I'm going to do it in my near the mic voice. And what I would like producer Juliet from Pineapple Audio Productions to do, I'm not sure if it's possible, Judith Owen, is just have a little didgeridoo in the background.
It's actually a didgeridoo.
So sorry. That's it for this episode. Let me do it like this. That's it for this episode. And we'll be back next week with another. I can hear it. Huge thanks to you for listening and to you, lovely Judith, for making this oral joy possible. I can see you. Don't forget to come on and get us next week and to follow and give the series a review. Unapologetically, Judith Owen is produced by Pineapple Audio Production. And we will see you next time. Put it away, Judith. Seriously.
Oh, it's my third eye.
I would have wet myself if she'd done that to me.